Bedsacket and my mother bring me back on board, dropping me like a dripping package, a newborn.
Son visage est crispé par la peur et son regard est froid, d'une intense concentration.
My mother's face is tense with fear and her eyes are cold, reflecting intense concentration.
Je jette un œil vers l'eau et je regrette déjà ses bras.
I look back to the water and miss her green arms already. Mère qui aime et accepte tout en silence. Ocean sea who loves and accepts all in silence.
Bon, donc je suis dans le bus. Et tous ces gens parlent et pensent qu'ils peuvent tout savoir, peuvent tout te dire, peuvent tout demander. T'es juif, pas juif, tu viens d'où, tu parles quoi, tu es marié, divorcé, combien d'enfants?
Where do you come from?
Ani mibelgia. Aval garti po, garti betzfat lifnei, kshayiti ktana.
She says, from Belgium. But I lived in Tzfat a long time ago when I was a child.
אישה באוטובוס אומרת, יש לך געגועים לצפת?
She says, the woman in the bus asks me, do you feel געגועים for Tzfat?
לא הכרתי את המילה הזאת, אבל הבנתי אותה. געגועים.
She says, I did not know the word, but at that moment I understood it.
זה בדיוק מה שאני הרגשתי. געגועים.
It expresses what I feel. געגועים.
געגועים. מביאים אותי לספר, ספר לגברים, ספר רגיל.
They take me to the hairdresser, one for men, a barber, rudimentary.
השיער נושר ונופל, מהר, בלי היסוס, בלי רחמים.
My hair falls swiftly, without hesitation, ruthless.
אני רואה שיער על הרצפה. מלא שיער, שיער בהיר, מסולסל, מפוזר, מבריק, כמו חיות קטנות, מיטות.
I see it all over the floor. A tiny pile of hair, fair, curly, scattered, shining. Tiny dead animals.
זהו.
It's done.
גמור. אני לא יכולה להחזיר אחורה.
No way of going back now.
הזמן נעצר.
Time has stopped.
הם חופשים לכובע טמבל, כובע פשוט, מכותנה לבנה.
She says, they put a cap on my head, a white cotton simpleton's cap. Burning shame.
והבושה לוהטת. אני יוצאת לרחוב, מהססת.
I step out into the street. I hesitate.
הם אומרים לי, לכי הביתה.
They say,
לכי הביתה.
Go home.
עכשיו צהריים. השמש מכה על הכובע. חם.
The sun beats down on my cap. It's midday.
השכן הקטן נמצא בגן לפני הבית. הוא רוצה לשחק, אבל אני רוצה להתחבא. הוא מפחיד אותי.
The little boy who lives next door is in his front garden. He wants to play. I want to hide. He scares me.
אני מרגישה מכה על מצחי.
I feel something strike my forehead.
מכה יבשה ותקיפה.
Hard and violent.
אבן קטנה ומחודדת. כמה טיפות דם נופלות.
A small sharp stone, a few drops of blood fall.
אני רואה כתמי דם קטנים על שמלת הקיץ שלי.
I see red spots on my summer dress.
את רואה? יש לי צלקת פה.
Can you see? I still have the scar here.
אני שרה.
I sing.
למה אני שרה?
She asks, why do you sing?
געגועים. געגועים.
געגועים.
המילה שאני לא הכרתי. לשיר זה קשור לזה, זה קשור לאור, לאור הבהיר, לחום.
That word that I didn't know, to sing is a little like that. It's a bright light, a pain.
לצער, לבדידות. פרצה שמחכה, מחכה לנוכחות.
Heat and loneliness, an expecting void, expecting presence.
את מבינה? את מבינה מה שאני אומרת?
Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying?
אני צריכה ללכת. הרכבת מגיעה. שלום, 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 כן, שלום.
She says, I have to leave. My train is coming. See you soon. Bye.
Yani havaya bir taş atar ve yerden bir taş alıp havadaki taşı avucunda yakalar. Yani havaya bir taş atar ve yerden iki taş alıp havadaki taşı avucunda yakalar.
She says.
Yani
I mean,
bir taş atar,
you throw a stone in the air, collect one stone from the ground and catch the falling stone in your hand.
Yani,
I mean, you throw a stone in the air, collect two stones from the ground and catch the falling stone in your hand.
Yani,
I mean, you throw a stone in the air, collect three stones from the I mean, you throw a stone in the air, you throw...
Yani,
I mean, you throw a stone in the air, collect three stones from the ground, and catch the falling stone in your hand.
Ve yerden iki taş alır, havadaki taşı avucunda yakalar. Havaya attığı taşı yakalayamaz veya yerden birden fazla taş alırsa oynama hakkı diğer arkadaşına geçer. Türkiye tatile gitmiştik her yaz olduğu gibi. Benden birkaç yaş küçük olan bir çocukla tanışmıştım.
She says, we went to Turkey for the holidays as usual. There I met a little boy who was a bit younger than me.
Kafasına bir şey düşmüş, konuşmuyor dediler.
One day something fell on his head and since then he refused to speak.
Bir çekim gücüyle sessizliğin
I wanted to be part of his silence, so
parçası olabilmek için
I invited him to play
beş taş oynayalım mı diye teklif ettim.
The five stone game.
Şşt. Şşt. O sadece bakıyordu bana.
He just stood there looking at me.
Ben devam ettim. Önce taş aramaya koyuldum. Seçenek çoktu çünkü. Köylerinde her yerde taş bulmak mümkündü.
I began searching for good stones. I had many choices. In small villages you can easily find stones everywhere.
Havaya attığı taşı yakalayamaz veya
yerden
birden fazla taş alırsa.
She says, If the player doesn't catch the stone in the air, he gives the turn to the next player. If the player touches any stones that he is not supposed to touch, or if the players don't catch all the stones in the air, he gives the turn to the next player. I asked him to paint one stone. He painted it in red.
Ya da kırmızıya boyadığı taş oyunun rotası diye anlat. Ve başladım.
The red stone marks the rotation of the game, I said. And I began.
Bir süre oynadıktan sonra denemesi için ona bıraktığımda o bana doğru taşları toplu bir şekilde kaydırarak ellerimin önüne koydu.
Şşt. After playing a while, I offered him the stones. Şşt. He then slid all the stones back into my palm. Şşt.
Sonra aynı şekilde taşları onun ellerinin önüne bıraktım.
Later I put the stones into his hand as I did before.
Yaprak hafifliğinde olan eliyle ilk defa dokunuyormuş gibi toparladı taşları.
His palm, at the touch, felt like soft, dried leaves.
Havaya bir taş attı ve avucunun içinde yakaladı.
He threw a stone in the air and caught it in his palm.
O anda avucunun içindeki doğum lekesini gördüğümde fark ettim. Şaşkınlığım ile etrafımda her şey ağır bir çekimle ilerliyordu sanki.
In that moment, I saw it, the birthmark. A perfect circle in the palm of his hand. Everything around me was moving in slow motion.
Yerle gök arasında çizgisel bir uzantı oluşturan ritim akışında eli yerle gök arasındaki ilişkiyi yatay olarak kesip ekleyen bir dinamoydu sanki.
From between the ground until the sky, a fine line was composing in a rhythmic flow. His hand moved between the ground and the air and cut horizontally as it turned like a dynamo.
Yani yatay olarak avuç içi ve elin tersi arasındaki yuvarlak hareketle avuç içindeki yuvarlak leke ve lekeye düşen yuvarlak bir taş oynuyordu izlediğim.
As his palm flicked back and forth, the birthmark appeared each time like a shadow of the falling stone.
Havaya attığı taş avucunun içindeki doğum lekesine düşmesinden dolayı geometrik şekiller görmemi sağladı.
I was seeing geometric shapes traced in the air by the stone and the birthmark.
Figüratif ve geometrik algının etkili gücüyle böyle tanıştım.
And could feel the effective power of geometry and figurative sense.
Sonra tatil bitti.
Then the holiday was over.
Veda etme zamanı geldiğinde
the time came to say goodbye.
Ben ona taşlarla birlikte bir defter verdim.
I gave him the stones and a notebook.
Defterin içinde nerede hangi taşı bulduk, nerelerde oynadık, boyayarak taşları nasıl kişileştirdik.
In the notebook he could find where we found each stone, where we played, how we made the stones our own by painting them.
Nasıl bir zihin haritası oluşturarak beraber bir arşiv yarattığımızı göstermek istedim.
How we made a mind map and how we made our archive together.
O da bana taşların arasından kırmızı olanını verdi.
He gave me back the red stone.
Kırmızı taşı bir şekilde kaybettim.
Somehow I lost the red stone.
Havaya bir taş atar
ve yerden iki taş alır. Havadaki taşı avucunda yakalar.
Sí, sí, claro que les oía. Estaban buscando. Pero yo no me iba a mover de allí.
Yes, she says. Yes, yes, I heard them. They were looking for me. But I wasn't going to move.
Seguid llamándome, niñas. Tú también, mi querida Peppa. No me voy a mover de aquí.
Keep on calling my name, girls. You as well, my dear Peppa. I'm not moving.
Sentada al borde del acantilado.
Sitting here at the edge of the cliffs.
Enfrente de ese horizonte curvo que nunca antes había visto.
Facing this curved horizon that I'd never seen before.
De vez en cuando unas gotas muy frías me mojan las piernas.
Occasionally very cold drops wet my legs.
Respiro el olor de las algas, las medusas.
I breathe in the smell of seaweed, jellyfish.
Las sardinas, las caracolas.
Sardines, shells.
Caracolas. De las rocas pulverizadas por estas olas enormes que nunca cesan.
The smell of old rocks smashed to dust by those huge waves never ceasing.
Solo ahora entiendo que la tierra es redonda, que gira.
Only now, she says, I realize the earth is round.
Que viaja como una nave.
That it spins, travels like a spaceship.
Arrastrando toda esta cantidad de agua verde temblorosa.
Pulling along this huge amount of green, trembling water.
Con las nubes enganchadas.
With the clinging clouds.
Y el viento alborotado como un cachorro.
The noisy wind, noisy as a puppy.
Las avispas nerviosas.
Dangerous, jittery wasps.
Aquel velero pequeñito.
That small sailboat and...
Y a mí con ellos.
And me, with them, sitting.
Muy quieta.
Very still.
A toda velocidad por el gran espacio.
Space. Traveling at high speed, through space.
Seguid llamándome, niñas. Monitoras gritonas y enrabiadas. No me voy a mover de aquí.
Keep on calling me, girls, you screaming and enraged instructors. I'm not going to move from here.
Thank you. Qualia was conceived, composed, and deftly created by Charo Calvo. The voice you heard in French and English was Kitty Grava and Caroline Daishi. In Hebrew, Zahava Sebald. In Turkish, Meryem Bayram. And in Spanish, Charo herself. There are more deeply thoughtful works of Charo's to discover.
Soundproof?
At abc.net.au/rn/soundproof.
Soundproof? Soundproof?
Soundproof.
Lost your way? Come on, keep up. Head towards the steel doors at the end of the corridor. No, not in there. Keep going forward. I'm an audio guide, you know, not a sat-nav.
You are now entering the auditory extensions exhibit.
Look, I can just make out Thomas in the furthest corner of the room.
Now here in the far corner of our auditory extensions exhibit, in a small display case, you see an object that looks perhaps like an old radio from the early 20th century. This is the sound machine of Roald Dahl. It's a device that, similar to the instruments of the steam concert, ties in with the theme of the sort of uncanny or unpleasant aspects of sound technology.
This is possibly my least favorite exhibit. Why would anyone want to invent such a machine?
The idea with this device stems from a basic fact of physiology and acoustics, which is that we know that the human ear is basically able to hear only a particular range of frequencies in the auditory spectrum. So there's an entire array of sounds that are either too high or too low for our ears to register as sound. And this is the conceit behind the sound machine. What this device does is effectively extend our hearing so that we're able to hear all these sounds that normally we are blissfully unaware of. And without wanting to spoil the story, this makes for some rather unsettling experiences for many of the users of this device. We hear some things that we might wish we hadn't. If you're feeling particularly brave, you can hear an example of the sound machine by pressing play on your audio guide now.
Before my ears actually bleed, let me briefly tell you what happened when the inventor of the sound machine tried to use it. The little needle crept slowly across the dial, and suddenly he heard a shriek, a frightful, piercing shriek. And he jumped and dropped his hands, catching hold of the edge of the table. He stared around him as if expecting to see the person who had shrieked. There was no one in sight except the woman in the garden next door, and it was certainly not she. She was bending down, cutting yellow roses and putting them in her basket. Again it came, a throatless, inhuman shriek, sharp and short, very clear and cold. The note itself possessed a minor, metallic quality that he had never heard before. The woman next door was the only living thing in sight. He saw her reach down, take a rose stem in the fingers of one hand, and snip the stem with a pair of scissors. And again he heard the scream. It came at the exact moment when the rose stem was cut. This concludes the information for this room.
You are now exiting the auditory extensions exhibit.
Roald Dahl's sound machine in the Museum of Imaginary Instruments, produced by Victoria Ferrin, and based on the virtual museum created by Deirdre Lockridge and Thomas Patterson. Find the first four installments of Mimi at abc.net.au/rn/soundproof. You've been listening to Soundproof. This program has been translated and transformed by I'm Miyuki Okiranta. Thanks again for joining me. And remember,
everything is so quiet, so still inside.
Follow your ears.
So blue, the ladies were winding their way, when Pharaoh's little daughter stepped down to the water to bathe in the cool of the day. And before it was dark, she looked in the ark and found sweet infant was there. And before it was dark, she looked in the ark and found sweet infant was there. And away by the water so blue, she carried that beautiful child to his tender mother, his sister and brother. Little Moses looked happy and smiled, and she called him her own, her beautiful son, and sent for a nurse that was near. And she called him her own, her beautiful son, and sent for a nurse that was near. The sea that was red, so red, little Moses, the servant of God. Before him subsided, seas were divided, when upward he lifted his rod. And the Jews safely crossed, while Pharaoh's host were drowned in the waters and lost. And the Jews safely crossed, while Pharaoh's host were drowned in the waters and lost. And away on a mountain so high, last one that he ever did see, with Israel victorious, his hopes were most glorious, someday all Jordan be free. When his spirit did cease, he departed in peace and rested in the heavens above. When his spirit did cease, he departed in peace and rested in the heavens above. We'll be right back.
This is a mean old world. What a mean old world. The folks don't care how they treat me. Oh Lord, what a mean old world. And sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Yes, sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Yes, sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Far away from home. I know.
Let's pick it up where we left off, before life got in the way. As if time stayed in a box, I wouldn't have done it any other way. You can tell me that I'd have to choose, but I don't share your views. I can have it both ways. Distraction, I know.
Thank you.
Episode 1. On the night of the 21st of January 1919, the Russian inventor, physicist and polymath Nikita Slavkin vanished. In the months and years that followed, the Soviet press reported that the socialization capsule, Slavkin's latest invention, represented an extraordinary advance in human knowledge. Slavkin, building on the theories of his hero Einstein, had revolutionized our understanding of the universe. What's more, his disappearance was proof that his theories had a practical application. He had found a means of subverting time itself. The vanishing futurist, as he was dubbed, became a Soviet icon. Monuments and streets were named after him, biographies written, children's books, portraits, films. No word has been heard from him since that day. Yet the idea persists that one day he will reappear. In May 1914, much against the advice of my parents, I took up the post of governess to the Korbelev family at number 7 Gargarinsky Lane, Moscow. My new house was a large, ramshackle building in need of a good coat of paint. It was reddish-brown, with a hefty, slightly sagging facade of white columns and pediment. On the other three sides leaned a mass of shabby outbuildings and an overgrown lilac hedge. As I put my head out of the carriage, my first impression was of the dizzying scent of lilac and the heavy branches of pale, wet blossom gleaming in the half-light. My second was of a surprisingly deep and oily puddle into which I immediately stepped. I include these details because now that I sit down to piece together these memoirs, it strikes me that they give a rather accurate shorthand of my life with the Korbelevs. Before I left my home in Cornwall, my parents and their friends had informed me at length of the mistake I was making. Russia was generally held to be a country of wild Cossacks, bears, anarchists, and so forth. My father would never have given his permission if it had not been for the fact that the introduction came through the redoubtable Miss Clegg, a solid, leathery woman, as dependably stuffed with good chapel values as a pasty is with potato, despite the fact that she'd been working as a governess in Moscow for almost a decade. From that first auspicious whiff of lilac, there was something irresistible about the Korbelev household. The front door swung open to reveal a large, dusty, red-papered hall and the colossal rear view of a footman in brown and gold livery. Without looking round, he held the door open with one hand and with the other cupped his mouth so that his voice would carry further. "Приехала мисс!" he bellowed. "The miss has arrived." Immediately the servants began to appear in the hall, as if they'd been hiding behind doors in anticipation. A plump young woman with her hair in a turban, a little younger than myself, arrived, frowning. "Miss Freely, I'm Sonia Korbelev. Welcome." She gave me her hand with a limp, regal air that confused me. As I shook it, it occurred to me that perhaps she'd expected it to be kissed. "This is my younger brother, Pasha." "How do you do, Miss Freely?" A young man with a conspicuously well-tended moustache came up behind her, smiling. "Pleased to welcome you to our abode. As you can perhaps tell,